You are listening to Turning Points and Transformations with your host, Brian Rice. Will today be the day that you have your breakthrough in consciousness? It is time to be uplifted. Welcome. I'm your host, Brian Rice, coming to you on a very mild winter day, second day of winter, here in the year 2015, just a couple weeks before the new year begins. Today's episode is called Choose Peace, or it could be called Remembering to Choose Peace, but we'll just go with Choose Peace. If we're going to talk about peace, we need to know what it means. In order to understand it, we need to define it. Well, the dictionary describes peace as inner contentment, undisturbed, calm, serenity, and free from strife. So basically, if a person is peaceful, they're calm, contented, happy, and relaxed. Well, that sounds easy. No, not so easy. It's a state to be hallowed, a state that we all seek. It's what we really want in life. It's what we want in eternity. It's what we want out of eternity. It's what we want in having connection with eternity here and now. We want forever to be restful and calm and still and serene. And with peace comes joy, and joy is another topic. But peace is a very high calibration, a high frequency. If you've studied the map of the scale of the map of calibrated consciousness by Dr. David Hawkins, that was calibrated by him through kinesiology, you would see that peace ranks very high, above 500, on a scale from a logarithmic scale from 0 to 1,000, and then that's exponentially multiplied by a numeric number, which I can't remember at this time. But it's 2 days before the celebration of Christmas. And I chose this topic because I've talked about in the past embracing contentment during this time of the year. And I think contentment is related to peace. Very much related to peace. They're intertwined. I have a quote for you. Can you imagine what it means to have no cares, no worries, no anxieties, but merely to be perfectly calm and quiet all the time? Yet that is what time is for, to learn just that. In nothing more. That's from A Course in Miracles in chapter 15, section 1. Now, what do we want when we say we want something for Christmas? We want contentment and we want peace. We want to be undisturbed. We want the serenity. And we want the joy that comes with peace. We put up Christmas trees, we decorate houses with lights. It's a time for light, a celebration of light being born into the world. The original Christmas story was about a light coming into the world at a very dark time in history. And thank God that we can say that we have many, many enlightened souls who have come to this earth and birthed the same light that did the Christ child. That night when that child was born, there was peace on earth. And so we sing about it in the spiritual hymns. Why was there peace? Because there was hope. Hope for a better way. A better way to live, a better way to see, a better way to act, a better way to believe, a better way to understand, a better way to relate. Little did we know, or little did people know, that this simple child came from the heavenly realm where we all came from as well. Our souls are there before we are ever born into this world. There are different aspects of the heavenly realms. There's a astral heaven. There's a causal heaven. These topics are explored in yogic philosophy, yogic cosmology, and things like that. But what we're really after today is the topic of peace, not so much a Christmas story, but the idea that, of sharing peace now and here in this moment in this show is because it's so desperately needed in our world today as it was over 2,000 years ago. And we have other avatars who have brought peace into the world, such as Krishna, Lord Buddha, Lao Tzu, one of my favorite masters, Paramahansa Yogananda, who lived in the 19th and 20th centuries. Yogananda was a Hindu, but he was very much in tune with the Christ. And when we say Christ, we're not talking about the last name of the person called Jesus or Yeshua. We're talking about a light presence. So being able to be at peace really is being able to unite light or unite the dark with the light. And that's something that the whole life of Yeshua was about. Uniting what was once divided during creation. In whatever creation myth you subscribe to, many of them talk about light coming into existence. Light emanating from an eternal source. And that light at least in the Judeo-Christian tradition, was said to have been separated from the dark. But we need to put the two together and be able to hold them intention in a paradox. Two apparent opposites colliding, how do we hold them in tension? How do we hold them in balance? We have a higher self and we have a shadow self. We have a true self and we have an ego. The goal is to not destroy the ego, but to transcend it. You have to have an ego. You need to build an ego in childhood in order to transcend it later in life. So, texts such as A Course in Miracles that atones or undoes, helps you undo the ego and unravel that process, that maniac energy, that separative nature, that rebellious nature within us. We need to undo it, and we can't really undo something until we've done it. And that means done it wrong. So getting back to peace, in light, in dark, and uniting them. We have daytime. We have the sun. We have the moon. Here on Earth, anyways. And we have solar energy. And we have lunar energy. And we have those energies within us. Yin and yang. Feminine, masculine. Negative, positive. And don't get caught up in the word negative. Negative just means a charge of energy, like electricity or a magnetism. And for more about the topic of magnetism and how it relates to divinity, you might want to listen to the archived episode Divinity and Magnetism that I did a few years back. What do we have to do to attain peace? Is it an effortful process, or is attaining peace effortless? And when I was talking about the ego and the true self and the shadow and the higher self, I was talking about, again, apparent opposites. And when I wasn't trying to infer that undoing the ego is necessarily an effort. It's more of a letting go. A letting go, a releasement. Process of saying goodbye to what is no longer needed, what no longer serves you, what no longer has a purpose. So what I'm saying is, it's not about trying harder or doing more. We have to do things in this life. We have to act. We're called to serve. We're called to bring peace to other people. That involves doing. So there is some effort, but attaining peace within oneself is, like I said before, a releasement process. letting go of sense cravings, things that we're attached to, naming and then letting go of compulsive thinking, repetitive thinking, thinking that might seem to overtake you at times or steal your peace. Nothing can steal your peace, not anxiety, not worries, not any of it. Divine presence, the real presence of divinity, is right there for you to be merged with, to be one with. You don't have to do anything to get that presence. You don't have to do anything to be given the gift of peace. Because by your nature, your inherent inborn, divine inborn nature, you are peace. We tend to suffer because we become preoccupied with thought. And Eckhart Tolle is a master at talking about this and unraveling the ego in that way. A Course in Miracles speaks of past thoughts as being a hang-up of the ego. The ego doesn't want us to be at peace. The ego loves attack, loves conflict, loves strife, division, dividing. Doesn't that sound like somewhat of what it means to be diabolical? To divide, to separate. Why do we have an ego? Well, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a therapist, but as a spiritual teacher, I can tell you that the ego is your biggest enemy. And I think you already know that, because when you're not at peace, it's the ego raising its red flag or waving its flag, its Confederate, so on, quote-unquote, flag of cessation, that it is trying to secede from you or from your true self. It wants to be separate. It wants to be by itself. It wants to run the show. It's so important to be peace because the world needs it. And we're all called to be messiahs, and we're all called to be saviors, and we're all called to be light bearers. No one is more special than another. We are all in this together. We are all made unique, dreamed unique, emanated unique, whatever you want to say, how we exist, how we became what we are, but we are here to be peacemakers. So again, let's choose peace. The experience of God's peace begins with the recognition that everything we see in this world, all separate forms or identities, Are hallucinations coming from the split mind? A mind that thinks it is separate from God or universal love. So if we choose to identify with the ego mind, we will think that the images of separation, the unique and different forms we see in this world, are real. We think that this whole world of separate identities is all there is. Now, part of that was from a quote from a course called Remembering to Choose Peace by Pathways of Light Ministries. Why do we resist peace? Because, you know, basically, we want excitement, we want flair, we want entertainment, we want to be satisfied. We want hungers, not just of the body, but of the mind, to be satisfied. We have urges, we have needs that we want to have met, things that we think are needs, not just our basic essentials, but things we think we need to be happy. Attachment is at the root of the root. Attachment itself is a root cause of dissatisfaction or lack of contentment. So again, yes, I'm revisiting a past show. Embracing Contentment, which I mentioned earlier. If we could all see that we're one. If we could all see that we were made to be one. And to support one another. And that is part of this dream that we are the emanations of divinity playing out roles on this stage of life. We're here to know that presence. And knowing that presence will bring you peace. Paramahansa Yogananda, in his translation of the Bhagavad Gita, God Talks with Arjuna, talks a lot about God having created and dreamed the world and had an aspect of God's self place us under delusion or that his cosmic hypnosis called Maya. And all for the purpose of having opposites. So that in itself takes things such as good and evil and makes them not the fault of man. What if that were true? I'm not saying that it is. I don't know if I believe it totally, but it makes sense. If we're to unite the opposites in order to attain peace, there had to have been opposites in the first place. And for there to be creation at all, for there to have been day and night, for there to have been light and dark, they had to be separated. Hot and cold isn't just a phenomenon of nature. It's a byproduct of creation, of the dream that we are in and playing out in. When I say hot and cold, I mean climates. And if we are under the spell, quote-unquote, of delusion or Maya, this dance that we need to awaken from, to become liberated from, to become awakened from for the purpose of being in divine romance, a divine romance, a loving, quite erotic relationship with divinity. If in spirituality we're in the business of waking up, becoming more in light, and then we had to be asleep in some way. Now, let's not point the fingers at two people and say it was their fault that we're asleep and we're in this so-called thing such as original sin. No, we're not. We were born in original blessing. God's the one that set up not the traps and the snares to snare us, but to entertain the possibility that creation all in itself, as it unfolded, as that God, that transcendent being, dreamed it, would once again come back and evolve back to its source. Think of a very strong presence of light, and out from that light are rays. And as the rays go on and outward, they become more and more dense. Our physical bodies are dense, but we are not in our entirety physical bodies. And that in itself, when we think that is true, when we think that we are only physical bodies, that in itself brings lack of contentment. So we had to be asleep in order to awake. I'm telling you, I believe that God did it. Also, God could know oneself, herself, hisself, itself. The Bible, which I don't like to quote from very often, talks about when Adam and Eve or other people, other men and women rather, knew each other. They're referring to union. So union is the goal of all life. Anything that is outside of union is not peace. It's a searching, it's a clinging, it's a grasping. We're trying to reach something that we feel we don't have yet. If there's all this striving and there's these desires to acquire and to attain and something that we feel is outside of ourselves, we're never going to find it. I had to realize through some earlier mystical experiences that the presence was not without me or outside of me, it was within me. It took a while to realize that. I had to recognize real presence or divinity, divine presence outside myself. And actually what was happening in the process was I was recognizing presence out there because it was already in me. It was awakened in me. And it was during a very powerful awakening experience for me. It had nothing to do with religion, even though I used religion to get through it and to try to find peace and try to find meaning and try to explain all of what happened. But really what I came to know was love. And I don't think you can have love, unconditional love, without peace. Peace within yourself, peace within the deepest recesses of your being. How could you? Otherwise, there's conditions placed upon it. There's rules associated with it. And it comes with strings attached. If union is what we want, and peace is what we really truly want inherently, why do we resist it so much? Is it out of fear? Is it guilt? Yeah, it's a little of both. Those things get in the way. They're huge obstacles that we need to overcome. Guilt can serve a purpose at some times, but it can become very neurotic. I remember hearing Thomas Keating, a Cistercian monk, once say that any guilt that lasts more than 15 seconds is neurotic. I'm going to quote from that course, Remembering to Choose Peace, again. When we realize the incredible benefits that remembering to choose peace brings us, including dissolving all our false values in things such as scarcity, sickness, and limitation, it seems surprising that we would want to drag our feet or resist accepting the experience of inner peace, the experience of allowing in the wisdom, abundance, awareness, and healing power of our one true self. In order to let go of this resistance, it is important to understand the underlying unconscious desire to keep the thought system of the ego that is the real source of this resistance. We cherish the ego. We make the ego our God. We think it's all there is. It's only one voice of the two voices that we can hear. And yes, there are many voices, our own imagined ones as well, but most of them come from the ego. And the ego will probably speak first, but the voice, if you want to say, of the God presence or of universal inspiration, or if you want to use the words Holy Spirit or of inner reality, true self, that comes in the still small voice. It comes in the form of a still small voice. Again, presence is not a forceful thing. Presence is power. And when I say power, I don't mean power over. Even though divinity exists, or we exist because of divinity, power think of it as more of a source. The source is like the sun. It gives us light. It gives us health. It allows us to give our lives. It gives us nutrients. It gives the earth nutrients. So therefore, it is a source of sustenance. Something we can sustain that allows us to be sustained. I want to quote again, resistance to peace is just wanting to keep what we have made for ourselves alone. And it goes on further to say that the ego is just the false idea of being separate from the all. That all that I'm talking about is divine presence. We breathe it. We breathe its life force, its prana, its chi. That sustains us. Up above, I had quoted things such as scarcity, sickness, and limitation. Scarcity really means that, you know, we think we don't have enough. And if we think only out of the mindset that we don't have enough, then we go seeking for more. And I just want to jump back for a second because I had mentioned there are two thought systems. And again, there's the ego and then there's the divine presence. Divine presence is a much more inclusive way of looking at it. If you say Holy Spirit, you're alienating other people that may not associate with that word. But it's that and it's more. It's the conscience that was born within us. It's the moral virtues of right versus wrong. We're born with the ability to learn that. But our soul, not our minds, our soul knows what is right. Our soul knows what will bring us peace. Our soul knows that peace cannot be found outside of us, that peace cannot be found through attacking other people verbally, physically, emotionally. Sickness, as was mentioned earlier, just a couple minutes ago, sickness is actually defined in the Course in Miracles as being anger. Sickness is anger taken out on the body so that it will feel pain. So if we're holding a lot of anger, we're going to experience sickness. Is it possible to have a sickness or an illness or to be suffering and to be at peace? I think it is. It's not impossible. Because you can come to terms with an illness. One of my mentors in the past, she lost her battle to cancer. She was middle-aged. A grandmother, a mother. But had so much more to live for. And I'm thankful for the time that I had with her. And I'm sure that so many of the people whose lives she did touch are thankful as well. I got to see some of her journey, not physically, not in the capacity of being with her, but in things that she would write and post on social media. And I think, though she wrestled with her sickness, she did come to terms with it. I think she made her peace. I don't know exactly how. But when the time came for her to make her transition, she left the body behind. I'm sure there was great liberation felt in leaving the body. Now, I don't want to make a mistaken point. of saying that we can't feel peace until true peace until we leave the body. That's not necessarily true. Because we were made to know that presence of God, that divine presence. And it comes through that releasement, through that letting go. And we can have what we already had from the beginning when we see that all these toys, all these acquisitions, all the things we surround ourselves, all the distractions, that they really don't matter. And in during this season of giving, of being a beacon of light, the celebration of light coming into the world, we can be peace for others, and we can be peacemakers. But in order to be any of those things, we need to be at peace ourselves. So what we really need to come to grips with is wrestling with what's known as desire. Desire is a gift. Desire to know the infinite is a gift. Desire to love is a gift. Desire to be in a relationship with another person is a gift. But desire and striving and grasps, self-grasping and clinging, they can stand in the way. They're like brick walls we build around ourselves and try to separate ourselves from that presence that is always there, that is always radiating outwards. And yes, the kingdom of heaven, so to speak, is within. But if we're going to bring that reality, that truth to earth and be peacemakers, we can't be building walls. We need to be building bridges. Let's be uplifted by the thought that God is the only power that has the ability to take away all of those things we surround ourselves with or consume ourselves with to deplete ourselves so that we are in a state of lack of contentment. When we are all about being separate from oneness, oneness or divinity or divine presence, we're in the ego. We resist peace when we take things, try to take a little bit away from that whole, that wholeness, that allness, that isness, and try to keep it for ourselves alone. Oh, I had a religious experience, so I'm going to therefore go in a corner, I'm going to go in a cave, and I'm going to stay there. Well, it doesn't mean that going into a cave and meditating and becoming a recluse is a bad thing, but because these people often, these yogis, these saints, these mystics who go and have these experiences of conversion, so to speak, and I don't mean conversion to a religion or to a faith or something like that. I mean a metamorphosis of the entire self. When they have this, they then usually, you do usually have to retreat from the world, but what I'm getting at is going off by yourself doesn't mean that you will not give back in some way. But going off by yourself into a cave, keeping an experience of divinity for yourself, is a temptation. If you go and you pray for the world and send out healing energy to the world, you're doing the divine will. You're doing what is in your nature, in your inborn nature, your divine inborn nature. You're doing what you were meant to, what you were created to do, which is to love. And when we raise our energy or our frequencies or our magnetism, so to speak, through these experiences we may have of deep peace and love and joy and ineffable bliss, we radiate it out from our being. So by choosing peace, we are giving peace. Just by being peace and just by being identified with peace in the first place. Have you ever been around a holy person? I don't mean a religious person. It could be a religious person. I just mean a holy person. A person, why did we say that they're holy in the first place? They're whole. They're complete. They feel complete. Maybe they feel more complete than they do fragmented. But we sense their presence. We sense there is something about them that we are entranced by, that we are drawn to. We want to surround ourselves with these people that make us feel calm, undisturbed, contented, still, and present. Because they radiate with divine presence. Divinity is the idea of all, sharing all of itself with all, or having all. I'm quoting again from the course, Remembering to Choose Peace by Pathways of Light. All giving or extending all of itself, which is the thought of love to all. This is what love or God is, the idea of oneness, the total sharing of all love with all. This is also what the Course in Miracles defines as holiness. So I brought up holiness before I even looked to quote, and it kind of fits with what we're talking about. We're living in a dream. We need to awaken. We're called to awaken. And divinity rejoices when we do. Because divinity is knowing itself as the all. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So choose peace, to be peace, to give peace, to see peace in the world. There's so much ugliness, especially even during this time of the year, the commercial aspect of it. And I guess, you know, human beings had to invent a mythical person such as Santa Claus to be exemplary of, you know, a great enlightened person. However, this myth that we made, came to be based on children having to be good or bad in order to get what they wanted. We can get what we want, what we truly want from divinity by surrendering. And that simply means letting go again, like I said earlier, giving oneself over, disidentifying with all the things, you know, in quotes, that we think matter that really don't. Everything is energy. Matter is energy. Matter in creation is thought and energy. So our bodies are constantly being created moment by moment by moment through thought, intention, will, and through energy. So being in union or being one with or being consciously one with the source that emanated us all can create a pattern in you that may be able to be more prone to being free from things such as sickness, such as anxiety, such as disturbances that might, anything that might rob you or cause you to think that you're being robbed of peace. And again, getting back to a person having a certain aura about them, it's because they have an energy. They're an energy. They're a soul. The soul is not just energy. It's essence. It's beingness. True beingness, true isness, true allness is peace. It always has been. Everything else is just a mirage in the desert that we construct. When we write our own scripts and we think we're running the show, we are not. We are not in peace. Do not be afraid of what you are. Do not be afraid of who you are. You are a God-like being. You are created to be God-likeness. You're not the God, but you are created in God's likeness. Judeo-Christian scripture says, let's make man and woman in our image. And when God is saying our, it's a father presence with a mother presence saying, let's make them male and female. But also in our likeness is the God likeness, the God self aspect that is meant to be realized through our lives, through actions, through love, through perseverance, and through the process of waking up. Every time we let go of some sort of baggage, every time we let go of some sort of hurt, every time we let go of some source of unforgiveness, we are getting closer and closer to true peace. Grievances, will destroy you. Forgive. Give somebody else the chance to have peace, who you may be harboring attack thoughts towards. They might not accept your apology if you choose to apologize to them in a person-to-person situation. But know that you're releasing them from the burden of your unforgiveness. The chains of unforgiveness. So there's lots of ways to become what we already are, or to have that presence of peace revealed to us. And we've talked about it in many ways, many facets. We've talked around the subject for a good amount of time today. What I want you to take with you is the knowingness again, that you don't have to do anything the victory of peace is already within you. It's going to feel like an effort, but it's not an effortful trying. It's not a forceful action-based thing to let go. Yet, it's going to hurt. And the only reason we hurt is because the ego likes to feel pain and wants us and wants the body and the mind to feel pain. Because the ego thinks it's in charge. So don't let anything get in the way. And don't let anything stand in the way that says, to have any sense of, don't create obstacles to peace. That's the essence of what we're talking about. You don't have to, but we do it. We all do it. I do it. Again, just admit that it's okay not to have to run the show all the time. Sometimes we have to take action and we have to do things. But to attain peace, to remember peace, to remember to choose peace, we don't have to try so hard that we're fighting for our lives. We just need to let go. And don't be afraid. Of Course in Miracles says love, or fear rather, fear is love's opposite. And from fear come all the other negative emotions. That there are two emotions, love and fear. Be love. Choose the higher path. Choose what's going to liberate you and other people. Not save you from a place called hell or something like that, but liberate you, uplift you, prepare you to go and return to where we came from. Our source. On that note, I hope you have a blessed, blessed, blessed holiday, whatever form it takes for you. Try to find ways, whether it's meditation, prayer, contemplation, breathing, counting your breath as you breathe, mindfulness, being totally mindful of what you're doing, when you're doing it, If you're washing the dishes, you're washing the dishes. If you're changing a diaper, you're changing a diaper. If you're driving a car, you're driving a car. That's a meditation in itself when you're totally present. Just be totally present. And stop creating situations that inhibit the perception. That's a word we haven't used yet today. Perception. I've been using knowing or being one with, but the perception of peace. We can change our perceptions, and that's what a miracle is. We just need to allow it to happen. And I can't tell you the exact way to make it happen, but I've given you some suggestions. Just know that you can make a difference in someone else's life. You can be the presence of divinity for somebody else. You can be the presence of peace for somebody else just by merely learning to become that, become what you already are inside. Master the arts of peace. On that note, may the divine bless you, uplift you, and keep you. Om. Shanti. Peace. Amen. You have been listening to Turning Points and Transformations with Brian Rice. We hope you have enjoyed your program today. Together, let us help build the new humanity and seek to become one with the divine presence of all there is.